I want to take this opportunity to thank our sponsors, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Sperling. Any occasion?
A case I have tomorrow.
Okay, lechavet harbazas haTorah, and in that zchus, Sam should be successful in b'chol ma'aseh yadecha. Anyone want to sponsor next week? Or are you waiting to see how the trial goes? Okay, so we have the Gurnans for next week. If you're working on any particular research, you should have great insight in the coming week.
I'll do it.
You got beat. Rabbi Friedman, you do 2 weeks. Okay. We'll figure out a bracha for everyone, I promise. Sam, it's all riding on you.
Have you ever said that?
Okay. Well, you speak about it with Dr. Gurnan.
No.
Or you can both sponsor.
My father wins the court case.
Oh. All right. So this is our Kananar. This is our fifth year of the series of the Shir, and every year we've had a Shir on Emor. Not so many parshas that we've been able to have 5 Shurim. No away, no conflict. But in those Shurim, we've mainly focused on the Moadim. 3 of the Shurim we spoke about Sfiras Omer. It's in the parsha, and it's always in Yom HaDiyoma. And last year I decided to take a break from that. I think it was last year or 2 years ago. We did something a little different. We spoke about Dalad Minim and the Chi of ownership of Dalad Minim. So for this time, I wanted to speak about something which is alluded to in the Parsha as well, also from the Moadim, something which has always piqued my interest, and I've never had time, I would say, to sufficiently research it. I'm not sure I had that time today either, but hopefully we're more knowledgeable than we were, and we will all be more knowledgeable at the end of the Shir. In our Parsha, in Perichov Gimel, the Parsha HaMoadim, the famous, not the only, of course, Parsha in the Torah, but one of the first and one of the most famous references to the Moadim in the Torah, of course, is the Parshas Emor. And we have various references to Eila Moadei Hashem and Makrai Kodesh, and different Mamari Chazal see in various allusions in the Moadei Hashem and Makrai Kodesh, in different contexts, references to Chalamoed as being in the Parsha as well, the Gemara Echagiga and Daf Yud Ches. Eila Moadei Hashem refers to Chol HaMoed, and the Mechilta, a very important Mechilta, which we'll be getting back to. It's a Mechilta actually on Parshas Bo, but the Mechilta also deduces from the description in our Parsha of Mikra Kodesh as referring to not only Yontif as Mikra Kodesh, but to Chol HaMoed as Mikra Kodesh, and the Mechilta itself will suggest Nafka Mina based on that description, which we will, Imer Tashem, get back to. The real issue, I think, as I pithily dubbed it in the title of the Shir, you know, really comes out of the name. You know, is it Chol or is it Moed? It's a very fascinating construct, Chol HaMoed, and that's really what I want to focus on tonight. There are many, many halachos. I saw somebody just recently, by which I mean like 10 minutes ago, and Al Chaim, he says, oh, I want to come to the Shir. Are you talking about shaving? I said, no, not talking about shaving. And then somebody else says, I want to come to the Shir. You talking about tefillin? No, not talking about tefillin. Also very important topics, but I don't think we're directly talking about that. And really, a number of the topics we will speak about, each one of the topics, especially the issue of malacha, really deserve a shir in their own right. But for us, they're not the topic. They may be nafkaminas of the topic. The topic I want to focus on is what is Chol HaMoed? Is it Chol? Is it Moed? Is it Mikra Kodesh? Is it Yontif? Is there Simcha? Is there Oneg? What is the character of the day? So just as kind of a light way, so to speak, of even fleshing that question out. So I thought something may be interesting just to point out, even in the commentaries on the Mishnah, you know, the famous Mishnah in Perkei Avos from last week's Perek, in the name of Rabbi Lazar Modai, they call him Avaza Hamoados, right? They are Ein Lo Chelek L'Olam Haba. So what are the Moados that we're referring to, that if you disgrace them, that you have no share in the world to come? So Rashi says, it refers to Chol HaMoed. Rashi says it refers to Chol HaMoed, that anyone who performs malacha on Chol HaMoed, it's not so much the malacha per se that's the violation, but you treat Chol HaMoed like any other regular weekday, and that is considered to be a violation. Rabbeinu Yonah points out that the focus is a subtlety, but he points out in the Mishnah Novice, it doesn't say Mechalel HaMoedos. It says Mevaza HaMoedos. And the idea there, he says, is again, it's on a similar vein, that we're talking about something very subtle. It's not so much about what you do or don't do. It has to do with an attitude or an understanding of the nature of these days. And I think with these kind of a background in mind, we could discuss a number of the various issues. There's one huge losase so to speak, or one isser, I should say, that applies to Chalamoid, and that is the whole issue of Malacha. I want to get to that in a second, again, with the caveat that we are not going to be remotely analyzing that question in a comprehensive way. It's a huge sugya, the nature of Malacha and Chalamoid, but that's the one isser I want to be focusing on. Most of the halachos which I want to focus, and that's probably the bulk of Hilchos Chalamoid. For the purpose of our shir, though, I really want to only mention that as a lead-off, as much as I want to focus, at least as much, if not more so, actually on the mitzvos asei, those mitzvos, those kiyumim, which I think are at least equal, if not more so, of an indication of the nature of the day. So the beginning of the shir, we'll talk about malacha briefly, but then the rest of the shir, I want to focus on various questions of whether you have to have a suda, do you have to have bread, do you have to have wine, do you have to have meat, do you have to dress a certain way, all issues which I think emerge out of this understanding, or trying to get to an understanding of what is the nature of Chol HaMoed. So in terms of the issue of Malacha, I mean, this is discussed, I guess there's a very, very big sugyas, Chol HaMoed, Maseches Chagiga, and if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch and Mishneh Berurah, I think it's the Be'er Halacha, you know, he shows you it's like 20 Rishonim on one side and 20 on the other side. Excuse me. Is the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed Araisa or the Rabbanan? This is the big, big discussion. And as I say, it's a battle royal. You have many Rishonim on one side, many Rishonim on the other side. Then, of course, you have a particular Rishonim with Acharim argue about which side they should be on. Perhaps, not surprisingly, the most talked about one in that case, of course, is the Rambam, who seems to have some, as he seems to always have some ambiguity and some contradictory implications. But there is this huge debate. Many Rishonim hold, as I said, that there is an Isra Malacha D'Oraisa when it comes to Chol HaMoed. The Ramban and his Talmud, the Rashba, has a very famous discussion. The Ramban speaks about there being two dinim in the Malacha, those which are a kind of a basic Isser, and then what he calls the Maisa Uman, things which are considered on a higher level. And the truth is that when we learn practically speaking Hilchos Chol HaMoed, we really use that model here in the Ramban of Maisa Uman versus Maisa Hedjot. Even a Maisa Hedjot, you know, if you'll forgive the Sammy me using an illustration, you know, if I had to bang a nail into the wall, that's a Maisa Hedjot. If I call Sammy, this is a Maisa Uman. So the even the Maisa Hedjot, Osir, it's not, neither of them are Mutter, but there are a variety of different heterim that are quoted in Gemara and Shulchan Aruch that sometimes, if you have certain considerations, that will allow you to do the Avera, do the Malach, I should say. So how big the consideration is, that's if you imagine the high jumper. That's how much kick he gets in the jump. Whether it's Maisa Uman or Maisa Hedjot, that's how high the bar is. There's a bar no matter what, and if you don't get off the ground at all, there's no reason to do the Malacha, then you're going to trip even on the Maisa Hedjot. But if you get a little bit of lift, there's a little bit of a need, so that's enough to get you over a Maisa Hedjot. But the even Masir, Maisa Uman, so there, that bar is pretty high. Doesn't mean you can't get over it, but you're going to have much greater need, much greater force, so to speak, to push you over. Now, obviously, the more you see the Malachas D'Oraisa, as some Rishonim do, obviously that's going to take on a certain meaning. The big question for those who hold Malachas D'Oraisa, and in a sense equate it, therefore, with Yontif, is how there could be all these exceptions. In Yontif, we have one exception, Malachas Ochol Nefesh. And that itself is its own sugya, not for now. It could also be an Emor topic, I guess, but that's not for now. Nevertheless, the question is, all the different things which we're familiar with, Tzorach HaMoed, right, things for Yontif, Tzorach HaRabim, things for the Tzibur, Dover HaAved, the big one, right? People might, right, the whole Heter to go to work, right? You know, Yontif can also be a Dover HaAved. Yet you can't go to work on Yontif. But Chol HaMoed, we do allow you to go to work. So prima facie, would seem that's obviously a bigger kasha on those who hold that the Malacha is the Araisa. Now, of course, there are answers for that, but again, that's, if the topic of the shir was just Malacha, we would really burrow deeper, I'd say, into that discussion. One of the Rishonim who really connects this Malacha question to our broader question of the nature of the day, one of the Rishonim, we'll see two or three, but one of them is the Sefer Yireim. The Sefer Yireim, Rabbi Lezer Mimitz, he actually counts two different mitzvahs in his minyan about Isra Malacha on Yontif and on Chol HaMoed. Such as his Daraisa, he seems to equate them, and he goes so far as to include all 8 days of Sukkot and It's also part of the Isser, again, if you talk about all 8 days, they're not just talking about the two Yom Tovim, you're talking about the Chol Hamoed in between. And not only that, it seems to be indicative of the fact that Chol Hamoed on some level really has the same status as Yom Tov. It's not just Daraisa, but it's equated, it's equivalent to the Malacha of Yom Tov. The Ritva, huh? I'm not sure. Well, you know, cause, you know, he puts them together. Why he counts two, I don't remember. It's a good question. I'm not clear on that, actually. Thank you. I'll be better to look that up. The Ritva also discusses this topic in two different places. And it's interesting how to try to put the two together. The Ritva and Moed Katan, which of course is the big location for a lot of these discussions, the Ritva and Moed Katan says, you know why Malacha is Aser? Because to do so, if you do Malacha, it would diminish your Simchas Yom Tov. In other words, you see, according to the Ritva, there's a mitzvah of simcha on Chol Hamoed. And if I'm doing malacha, it's not that it's inherently problematic, but it fashters the simcha. So that, on some level, he's saying it's an isser. On the other hand, he doesn't seem to be saying it's an implicit or inherent isser. And yet, at the same time, the Ritva in Sukkah, he assumes the Chol Hamoed has the status of Yontif, an issue which we'll hope to get back to later in the shir. Which is a big machlokas, but the Ritva is on record, at least in Sukkah, that he holds that Chol Hamoed has the status of Yontif. So even though on the one hand it has the status of Yontif, like the first days or the last days, on the other hand, this malacha may be somewhat a little bit different. The Beis Yosef has a whole discussion of this in Aruch Chaim and Tav Kuf Lamed, and basically he discusses the famous theory, which in some ways is attributed to Rashi and Moed Katan, that perhaps the Isser, generally speaking, is the Araisa, but it was Masr l'Chachamim, but it was given to the Chachamim to figure out the details. It's not an unheard of phenomenon, but it's certainly a somewhat rare phenomenon, although I thought it used to be really, really rare. And then somebody I saw noted, I haven't seen the Sefer, but I saw in something I was looking up, that they quoted that Rav David Cohn has a Sefer where I think he tries to trace 50 such phenomena. I would be shocked that there's 50. I never would have thought there's 5. I didn't know there was 50. So I'd like to get my hands on that safer if anyone... 50 different times we have the phenomena where there could be a halacha d'oraisa, but yet maser l'chachamim to figure out the contours. So even though the chachamim are deciding yes or no, that doesn't mean it's a d'rabbanan, it's a d'oraisa, but they were given that power. You take a look at Rashi in Moed Katan, he has that lashon when it comes to Chol Hamoed, that the Isser in general is d'oraisa. D'oraisa malachas don't have all these haterim like Chol Hamoed seems to have. So Rashi, the way he threads the needle, it's d'oraisa, yes, in some general sense, but the specifics are given to Chachamim, as opposed to obviously Yom Tov and our Shabbos, where that's not the case. Which parts, pieces are? Is that why? That's why? Okay, I haven't heard that. Okay, maybe that's in the book. Maybe that's in Rav David Cohn's book. I don't know. I never heard that. Okay, I never heard that. Very interesting. Okay, very interesting. I never heard that. One interesting idea, again, just to give you something to look forward to for another shiur on Malach on Chol Hamoed. So there's a theory which I just recently saw. I think Rav Sternbach may say something similar in Modern of Edmanim, but it's more well known in recent Svarim in the name of Rav Zsolti. If you take a look, if anyone has the Sefer Mishnas Yavis, which is Rav Zsolti's 3-volume work, although actually there's a 4th volume of Shemitah, but usually they sell the 3 volumes of Yerderech, Hoshemishpat, and Arachayim together. So the Arachayim one, which is the real reason everyone buys the set, it's really not even Aruch Chaim. It's just on the holidays. It's on Moadim. It's really one of the best farm that's been printed in any generation on Halacha and Lomdus on the Moadim. So if you take a look there in Siman Mem Daled, he discusses the Malacha, and he very much focuses on these various implications of the Rambam. The Rambam is a Daraisa guy. He's a Darabonan person. Seems to be not 100% clear. So he has the following Lomdus, which I think, again, relates to something we mentioned at the outset of the Shir in the name of Rashi, on the Perkei Avos, and he says the following. He says, according to the Rambam, the act of malacha per se is not the Araisa, that's the Rabbanan. But to make Chol Hamoed like a regular weekday, that is the Araisa. So where do you draw the line? Not 100% clear. In other words, is an individual action, is that sufficient to fashter the whole day and say that it's like a Chol Hamoed? Maybe not. Is it 5 different malachas? I don't know. No, he's, I'm saying specifically about the issue of malacha. I'm saying, he's saying individual malacha that you do, it's not like on Yom Tov where, you know, you eat, you do this of a kazayas, or this of a this, you're, it's already per se a malacha d'arai. So he says, no, the malacha may be in and of itself the Rabbanan, but if by doing those malachas you have not made it clear the chalamoid is different than chol, then that is a violation to araisa of the, so to speak, theme or the sanctity of the day.
I'm not talking, you and Marvin are asking the same thing,
but I may, so that just means I'm not being clear. I'm not focusing now, we're going to get to things like that. But right now, and all our result is talking about is not what you have to do, it's what you didn't do, or what you violated. In other words, just because I did one malacha, that doesn't necessarily mean that I have forshtered the whole chalamoid and treated it like a regular day. But if I do either, I'm not sure if it's quantity or quality, but in some, or some combination, but if based on my malacha actions, I'm treating the day no different than any other day, that's, now again, to reframe, Alan, what you and Myron are saying, you might say, I could do according to this, maybe, according to the Rambam, I could do everything like I would do ordinarily, but maybe something a little bit different. Maybe I usually drive to the bus, and this time I'm going to walk to the bus. I don't know that that would be enough. But as an illustration, that's what you're getting at. In other words, we're talking about malacha. As long as you treat it a little differently, you show that this is a different day, that's the kiyum d'oraisa. Or again, in the reverse, if you didn't make that clear, that would be the violation. But even though actions in and of themselves may be only mitzvah rabbanan, interesting kind of a combination. But the issue, again, which I want, and I really want to now move on to the remainder of this year, what I want to bring out, again, with this kind of run-through, kind of hit and run of the various shitas about this topic, is, again, on some level, they're indicative of this struggle. To what extent is Chol HaMoed really a day of Chol with a few extra bonus points? Or to what extent is it really a day of Moed with a few heterim? Obviously, the biggest, most dramatic dafkimina may be, whether you see Malacha as Daraisa or Darabanan. If you see Malacha as being Asur Daraisa, that certainly sounds like this is a real Moed. There are certain heterim, okay, certain heterim because it's not the same as Yontif, but it could really be a Moed. If you say that even if that midaraisa, there's no from Malacha at all, that's harder to see it in its character as really being a Moed. That sounds like it's more a Day of Chol with a little...
Mubatis Amodis would indicate that it's really not Daraisa.
Who said?
Because if it's
the
right, you wouldn't have to say
Mubazir Samoadis. No, I think that could be psychological. Mepharshim is going to point out that, again, the reality on the ground is that people treat it differently. Because again, and there are halakhic reasons to treat it differently. The point is, given that it's already treated differently, we're more susceptible to being Mubazir. Now, why it's so bad in Chechol Habo, I mean, that's Perkiyavah Shir. That's not halakhic Shir. But, and Echadami, I don't know anyone would say, as far as I can tell, that Chol HaMoed on many of these things is really on the same level as Yom Tov. Even if you hold the Isra Malachos D'Araisa, or again, as to orient the Shir, that it's more Moed than Chol, it's still not Yom Tov. It's still not Yom Tov. I don't know if anyone's going to say that. So that's why you have this Mavaza. Again, Mavaza, again, I mentioned Rabbeinu Yonah says Mavaza not Machalo, because there is a difference. Okay. Please. Fair enough. Okay, yeah, so exactly. The question, though, is whenever you have this kind of a hybrid, you know...
How far does it go?
Exactly. Where exactly? That's all we're trying to figure out. Let's now focus from the Los Asseis, let's focus on the Asseis. And a big, big discussion in the Rishonim has to do with the mitzvahs of Kavod and Onig. We're most familiar with the fact that on Shabbos, there are mitzvahs, mitzvah Rabbanon, of Kavod and Onig. The truth is that it's a little bit of a misunderstanding because most of us are not as familiar as we should be that on Yom Tov, Shana, we're also explicit that there's also mitzvahs of Kavod and Onig. The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov in Perek Vav, Halacha Tezayin, speaks about the requirements of Kavod and Onig as they apply not only to Shabbos but also to Yom Tov. Why? Because Yom Tov is Mikra Kodesh. Shabbos is Rishon the Mikra Kodesh. And the Yom Tov and by extension Mikra Kodesh. So therefore, just like Kavod and Onig applies to Shabbos, says the Rambam, it also applies to Yom Tov. Yes. No, not that. No, the whole Kavod and Onig on Shabbos are Darabonon. They're like different Kabbalah or something, but they're not the Raisa. In the next halacha, in the beginning of the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, In the next halacha in Perek Vav, halacha Yud Zayin, went from Tez Zayin to Yud Zayin, the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. And the Rambam goes out of his way to say the mitzvah Simchas Yontif applies all days of Pesach, all days of Sukkot, and Shavuos. So if you looked at that halacha in isolation, it sounds like the mitzvah of Simcha applies not only on the first days or last days of Pesach, but also on Chol HaMoed. Not only the first days and last days of Sukkot, but also on Chol HaMoed. The previous halacha just talked about Shabbos in Yontif, not Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, a very famous shuva. And if you want to say something really, really good, I give, if you're a writer, a good piece of advice is, put it in the beginning. Shuvah Rabbi Kiva Eger, Simen Aleph. How often do you get the Simen Aleph? That's such a famous book. There's hundreds and hundreds of shuvahs. But the first one, and not only is it in the first shuvah, but he actually is very famous. He has addendums. He has hashmatos in the back. You know, the afterwards or the extra addendums in the back. So there in the hashmatos to Simen Aleph, he develops this idea, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is very strong and very well known for the fact that he's medayik in this Rambam. The following chiluk that you see from the Rambam, the Simcha Taka applies not only to Yontif, but to Chol HaMoed. That's explicit in the second halacha. But the fact that in the first halacha, they're back to back, they're juxtaposed, the Rambam speaks about Kavod and Oneg, but he does not there mention Chol HaMoed, he only mentions Shabbos and Yontif. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, la halacha, he paskins based on this Rambam, that Kavod and Oneg do not apply to Yontif, even though Simcha, excuse me, that does not apply to Chol HaMoed, even though Simcha does. And in fact, following in line with Rav Kiva Eger, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and Siman Tov Kof Lamed Tes, as well as the Mishnah Berurah there, both, in their own way, very succinctly make the point. Simcha applies to Chol HaMoed, but Kavod and Oneg don't. Where did the Mishnah Berurah get it from? He got it from Rav Kiva Eger, who's being medayek in the Rambam. So, let's stop for a moment before we see what nafka minas might flow from that. But again, speaking again, B'Klolius on our meta topic, once we know that Yontif has Simcha and Kavod and Oneg, the fact that, at least from Rabbi Eger, you're going to have Chol HaMoed only having one and not the other, so clearly shows, again, this tension of the straddling of the fence that Chol HaMoed has. It has aspects of Moed, but clearly does not have all of the aspects of Moed. So which of practical halachas, now there was nothing practical about that, practical halachas, which halachas will emerge from either Kavod and Oneg on the one hand, or Simcha on the other hand, and which poskim are going to require certain things on Chol HaMoed or not, I think that is going to be really good indications for us as to the character of Chol HaMoed. So let's see a few of these very, very specific ones. For example, is there a chiyuv suda on Chol HaMoed? Do you have to sit and wash on Chol HaMoed and have Hamotzi? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf Peches, Siv Zayin, seems to be that no, there's no need to eat bread. And what's the nafkemina of the nafkemina? A very famous shaila. Let's say you're benching and you forget to add this tomorrow night, Ritzei. But you did every other bit of benching perfectly. You have to go back. Yontif, you did everything perfectly. You forgot Yalav Yavo. You have to go back. And the third time the question is asked is Rosh Chodesh. So before we get to the fourth, which is Chol HaMoed, the general answer is it depends. Whenever you have a chiyuv to have had the suda, you had a chiyuv to have bread and therefore to wash and bench, then if what generated that chiyuv to eat was the nature of the day, be it Shabbos, Yontif, etc., so then if you didn't mention that holiday in the benching, even though you benched everything else, you just missed the Ritzei or the Alav Yavo, you have to go back. Shabbos is a Chiyuv Suda, Lecha Mishnah. If you forget Ritzei, you got to go back. Yontif, Chiyuv Suda. You forget Yalav Yavo, you have to go back. Rosh Chodesh, we say Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, but there's no Chiyuv Suda. There's no Chiyuv Suda. And therefore, if you forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, and just to be clear, this is not just at night, even during the day, not to be confused with the Halacha of Shmon Esrei, even during the day of Rosh Chodesh, if you forget Yalav Yavo, you do not have to go back on Rosh Chodesh because there was no Chiyuv Suda. So we have both sides of the issue demonstrated. Now the question is, batting forth and clean up, Chol HaMoed. Which one is Chol HaMoed? Is it going to be more like Shabbos and Yontif, or is it going to be more like Rosh Chodesh? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it's like Rosh Chodesh. There's no Chiyuv Suda. You do not have to have a meal. You don't have to wash on Chol HaMoed. And therefore, if you did, you bench with Yalav Yavo. But if you didn't, but if you forgot Yalav Yavo, excuse me, then you do not go back. Now it is worth... What? not how we paskin. No. So just so you should know, halacha lemaisa, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura don't disagree with the Shulchan Aruch, but they both suggest that lechachila you should have a surah. Now I think that's very fascinating. I didn't have a chance to check, but I'm pretty sure. Let me rephrase. I don't recall. That's more passive, right? More wiggle room, more plausible deniability. I don't recall that there's a similar indication by Rosh Chodesh. Anyone know offhand? I can't remember. I don't recall it.
Does that mean one?
We'll get to it in a second. We'll get to it in a second. That even though there's no chiyav suda, lechachila you should have. Magen Avraham says lechachila you should have a mosi on Chol Moed. You don't have to. Shulchan Aruch passes. You don't have to, but lechachila you should. So before we see the specifics to Alan's question in a second, but again, that in of itself I find to be fascinating. To me, that's the pinpoint. That's the issue. That's the tension. Is it like Yontif? Is it like Chol? So Mikra, then I don't have to. But you could see Magen Avraham saying, you know, trying to grab a hold a little bit to Moed. You know, but lechachila, excuse me, please. But lechachila, you should have bread. You should have bread. Let's make it, you know, it's like an arm wrestle. You know, is it getting closer to Moed? Is it getting closer to Chol? Now, just in terms of the specifics, Alan, the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah talk about having two meals, and they, the lashon there is a night and during the day. But yes, like, mamish like Yatif. But it's interesting, I saw there's a journal, hardcover journal, which comes out every now and then. I don't know, once a year, twice a year, called Mevakshei Torah in Eretz Yisrael. So a number of years ago, they came out with a two-volume set. It really looks like a sefer, not a journal, in memory of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And one of the volumes is dedicated, half the volume is to Hilchos Chol Hamoed. So one of the things that they have there are a lot of contemporary psukim, including one piece is just random psukim from Rav Yashiv on Chol Hamoed. And there he said, even if you wanted to go with this hitter of the Magen Avraham of two meals, he said, you don't have to worry about the night versus the day. It doesn't matter when you have the meals, as long as you had the two. But there is a hitter to have two, and to borrow a phrase, half a loaf is better than none. So if you have one, it's also better. And again, and if you have none, it's okay, because the Shulchan Aruch passes, you don't have to. You know, that when I say suda, as far as I'm concerned, it could be bread and margarine. I'm not talking about anything else yet. We're just talking about washing, and then, of course, result, benching.
The hitter could be based on, I think it is based on.
Okay, again, so I'm speaking on a little bit of a deeper level, namely that, again, I think the hitter or the lechachila is part of this tension of trying to make it more like moed than chol. Rabbi Kiv Eger, just to make the point very clear, Rabbi Kiv Eger quotes this halacha, the fact that we pass in Ikra din, you don't have to have bread, and therefore if you did and forgot Yalgov, you don't have to go back. He says that's a riot to him. Because he assumes, and this is itself debatable, but for the purpose of our show, we're going to assume he's right, he assumes that the reason you have to have bread and hamotzi on Yontif is because of kavod and oneg, not because of simcha. He holds that hamotzi is a din in kavod and oneg, so kavod and oneg by Yontif, by Shabbos, that's why you have bread, but on Chol Hamoed, as he holds, based on the Rambam, there's simcha, not kavod and oneg, therefore you don't have to have bread, and therefore even if you did and forgot Yalv Yavo, you don't have to go back. Good. Now, let's say you are benching. We discussed what if you forgot Yalv Yavo. But let's say you are benching, and even if you forgot Yalv Yavo, you didn't realize it yet. At the end of benching on Yontif, what do we say? We add a harachamon. Harachamonu yanchilenu yom shekulo tov. Right? That's what we said. If you look in all the benches, it says on the festivals. Right? You say. So do you add that on Chol Hamoed or not? So this is also discussed by the poskim and the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Tzadik and the Shulchan Aruch, also in Tov Pei Zayin, both paskin, that Chol Hamoed is not a Yontif. I alluded to this before, that the Ritva held it is a Yontif. But it seems like the more recent poskim reject that Ritva, and the Taz and the Magen Avraham, and that's what the more recent poskim are quoting, the Taz and the Magen Avraham are both beferish, that in benching we do not say Rachamanu Yachilenu on Chol Hamoed, because even if it's some mixus moed, but it's not a full moed. It's not a yontif. And therefore, we don't say Yachilenu Yom Shibodah. I don't know if that's the same thing. The truth. Well, you just said, if you bench, of course you would say, again, but yeah, but again, that's where the tension is. You would say Yalv Yavo and not Harachamon. Right, good. Please. I never thought of that. I should try that.
So they had a force that they washed for. And they didn't say, I'll be able to say,
Doesn't matter. I don't think. I think they still have to. I would think they still have to go back. Yeah. I should. I, you know, of all the chumras I've tried out in my life, more food. I don't know what I'm thinking. Shame on me. I would think not, but I think whenever if you bench on Shabbos, then you have to make if you bench on Shabbos, you have to say Ritzei. That's what I think. Okay, another halacha. We have two or three more to go. We're almost done. Clothing. This is a big issue every year for lots of people. How do you dress on Chol HaMoed? So the Chayyadam says you have to wear Shabbos clothes. However, something, a nuance which is lost on most of us, is that according to the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, there's a difference between Shabbos clothes and Yontif clothes. Yontif is even nicer than Shabbos. There's three levels of clothing according to Shulchan Aruch. There's weekday, there's Shabbos, and then there is Yontif. If I was a Chassidish Rebbe, I could keep this. Because I'd have like different, you know, like gold thread Bekesha and blue thread Bekesha. But, you know, I have to be honest with you, I don't know that many people, including Rabbanim, who have that nuance of Shabbos and Yontif. Maybe some people do. They buy a tie and they save it for Yontif or a certain hat or a certain shirt. I don't know. But most of us, and I myself included, I'm very makbid on Shabbos and Yontif to have nice clothing. And I think too many people are very makel on Shabbos afternoon and the like. But I have to be honest, I'm not so makbid on the nuance of Shabbos and Yontif. So it's worth noting, but Lamaisa, maybe we should be. Chayotim says it's not Yontif clothing, but you have to wear Shabbos clothing on Chol HaMoed.
Even when you go to work? I mean, if you're allowed to go to work. Maybe that's how it takes. If you're allowed to go to work, it's a steer that you have.
Maybe. It's interesting, yeah.
Maybe that's what changes your malacha, though. Maybe that's the change.
Hold on one second. The Mishnah Berurah says that he testifies that the Maril wore his Shabbos coat. He describes the Polish or Yiddish word like a kapota, that the Maril had a special Shabbos coat and that he wore. Of course not. Anyway, so the interesting thing is, as I said, you obviously have these poskim. There's another shita though, and it's actually the Mishnah Berurah shita. The Mishnah Berurah writes not so much. He writes very short in the Mishnah Berurah, but this is one of the examples where in the footnotes, the Shaar Tzion has a very lengthy consequential Shaar Tzion. Again, for those of you who learn Mishnah Berurah regularly, you know many, many times, if not more often, the Shaar Tzion is just a Marah Malkum, just a footnote. But every now and then, he'll give you a whole Torah in the footnotes. So this is a very, very important Shaar Tzion, where he goes through the whole sugya, Chol Moed, and he has the following piece. He says, listen, the Ikur is not that you have to dress up like Shabbos or Yontif. Because it's not really a Yontif, and it's not really, it's the Ikur a Yom Chol, in the sense of the character. However, it's not really a Yom Chol, because it's a Chol that's got Moed in it. And therefore, what you have to do, kind of like we've seen before, you have to make sure that it doesn't look like you're treating it like a regular weekday. And therefore, the Shaar Tzion famously paskins, you don't have to wear fancy clothes, you don't have to wear Shabbos clothes, a long Yontif clothes. You have to wear something a little bit nicer than you usually wear. And that's completely subjective. So people who usually are in work boots and jeans, so if they'll just maybe wear different pants or different shoes, that's a little bit nicer than usual. And people who generally are wearing a suit, so maybe they have a little bit of a nicer suit. Again, if you wear a suit every day, so the bar is much higher, but you still have to wear something a little bit nicer. Different cufflink, different cufflink, a different tie. And again, it doesn't have to be noticeable to somebody else. So that's a little, you know, for me, for example, I have a weekday hat and I have a Shabbos hat. So when on Chol HaMoed, I wear the Shabbos hat. Not because I help, even if I hold like the Shaar Tzion. It's just that I don't have four hats. I only have two. Shabbos a weekday. I guess if I could really be indulgent, I'd have a Chol HaMoed hat. So, but it'll be, again, the idea is just a little bit nicer. You should do something a little bit nicer. I think it's something that one should keep in mind. Again, the halacha lamaisa, I think, not appreciate this halacha enough. Again, and I don't think, and you see this, it's very popular, Yeshiva Bacharim, they wear the same Yontif suit that they've been wearing for 3 weeks. They wear it every day at Chol HaMoed. And I'm pointing out that there's makor for that we shouldn't laugh at them. But my point is, if you don't want to do that, that's also okay. You don't have to wear the same Yontif suit that you've been wearing for the last 2 days. You don't have to wear it on Chol HaMoed. But it shouldn't be that you're wearing the same thing you wore on Erev Yontif. It should be something, again, in some way that's meaningful. It doesn't have to be to anybody else, at least to you. You should wear something a little bit different and a little bit nicer. Again, that's the surface level of that topic. And again, taking a step back, explicitly you see in the Shaar Tzion, and I think it's implicit in the whole discussion, it all centers around this issue. To what extent do we treat the day more like Chol? To what extent do we treat the day more like Moed? What about drinking. So some poskim hold that there's really no chiyuv to have any kind of a wine or anything like that, and you think one has a right to be mekel, but there are those poskim, and Rav Yashiv is one of them, and others, who held that really, at least l'chachila, one should try to have a revius of wine on Chol HaMoed. And within that, then you have the secondary discussion of if wine is required or is grape juice sufficient. Here you have a battle royal from the last 50 plus years. Rav Moshe and Rav Yashiv both held that you have to have midi de mishtaker, that it has to be something that's alcoholic, it has to be wine or the like. But Yaakov Kamenetsky and Shlomo Zalman Auerbach both held you had to have grape juice. And I never heard anything specifically in the Rav's name about Chol HaMoed, but in general, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so the Kal Vachomer, the Chol HaMoed, the Rav also held in general that if you like grape juice better, that you could be Yotze with that.
Someone will say something on ad, every single Yom Tov in the newspapers, saying about Chiyuv of drinking.
Which newspaper would that be? Not the Sun.
No, Jewish Press,
He
takes a big deal out of having a convivial guy on every
This
day.
Is his thing.
Yeah, twice a day, once at night and once in the morning.
Think that an ad?
Yeah? Yeah, of course.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. It's all right. Whatever. No, sorry. Yeah, sorry. It's a whole topic. I actually spoke about it my first year in the shul on Yom Tov, second day Sukkot, I spoke about it. But not tonight. Poskim also discuss meat. The poskim say l'chachila, one should try to have kazayis of basar. I can speak and I can attest at least within one Rosh Yeshiva, a Maisa Rav, Rabbi Willig, who the whole year he only has, for health reasons, he only tries to have chicken or turkey. But on Yom Tov, including Chol HaMoed, he has tries to have a kazayis of basar, and Rabbi Willig also has revius of yayin. But again, I don't know if they're necessarily real absolute chiyuvim, but certainly things that should be done l'chachila. I'll tell you something very, very interesting. Rav Moshe Halberstam, Zatzal, the great posek who died just recently, so he has, I think it's called Divrei Moshe, if I remember. I have it. It's a one-volume black set of tshuvas, one volume. He has a tshuva, and it's also picked up on by some other poskim in the mikvah books. The following shaila. You have a woman whose leil tefillah is on Chol HaMoed. She's supposed to go to the mikvah that night, on one of the Chol HaMoed nights. So we know that it's already a very strongly practiced minog that the night that or the day that a woman goes to mikvah, she's not supposed to have meat, because these type of stringy meats are going to very risky to get caught in the teeth, in between your in the gums or between your teeth, and it could be a chatzitza shaila. So soft chicken like bedochik, we tell even on a Friday night or something, people ask me, I say, really you shouldn't have meat, have chicken for dinner if you're going to go to the mikvah after dinner. It's better to go to the mikvah before dinner if you can avoid, for that exact reason. So they both Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they're so quoted in this mikvah sefer, or Rav Moshe Halberstam and his tshuvas, were asked the following shaila: what about Chol HaMoed for a woman? Should she have kazayis basar, or on a mikvah night, or should she give it up? And they both felt that it was so important that a woman could have kazayis basar even before with her dinner before going. Obviously, you have to be very careful when you go to the mikvah, etc. But again, that just shows you how seriously these contemporary posts can release. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Huh? I could be, but I'm not sure. I mean, generally, yes, the basar v'yayin, we generally do assume are mitam simcha. And as I said, the Rambam is beferish that simchas Yom Tov applies to tries to Chol HaMoed. Again, that was Rabbi Akiva Eger's point, that it's simcha that applies to Chol HaMoed and not oneg. I'll mention one last point, which this will conclude, more or less on time.
So that
that's a whole discussion, Louis, because how that applies nowadays, when we don't have carbonos, is its own question. That's why I was trying to somewhat skirt stake that issue. Yeah, but you see, from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and they held yes. The last point I want to mention is the tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. We saw the Rav Akiva Eger Siman Aleph. This is an Avnei Nezer Siman Beis. So we're getting to the top of the book in both cases. And Avnei Nezer discusses the following: how come that after Yontif into Chol HaMoed, we would say Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, but Shabbos into Yontif, we would say Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. And he suggests that is indicative. He says that you see from this, he has a very suggestive language, he says that fundamentally, in his opinion, Chol HaMoed is Chol. It has certain halachos of Moed. He says, quoting a Zohar and a Medrash Nelam, it's like the moon. It's not like the sun. It doesn't have inherent kedusha. It's like the moon. The moon reflects the sun's light. So because Chol HaMoed is bracketed by Yontif and Yontif, so it reflects the Yontif, and therefore it has certain aspects of Moed. But it's fundamentally Chol, and therefore that's why we would say HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Just an interesting thought. Again, also clearly bearing on this issue. All right? A good Moed! And a good Shabbos to one and all.
Very good.
Remember, tonight or tomorrow night.